familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com. We're moms, and we all want what's best for our babies, right? If we truly believe that, then why aren't we more supportive of one another? We can't possibly know all of the reasons behind a mom's decision to feed her baby, whether it's by breastfeeding, pumping, milk sharing, formula feeding, and we still end up judging one another, unfairly sometimes. It's known as the mommy wars. We're the boob group.
I use a breast pump.
I hand express milk for my baby.
I exclusively breastfeed.
I use a nipple shield.
I breastfed after a C-section.
I use a milk bank.
I breastfeed in public whenever I feel like it.
I pump at work.
I breastfeed with a cover.
I breastfeed twins.
I give my baby bottles.
I made my own supplemental nursing system.
I supplement with formula.
I talk to my baby while I breastfeed.
I'm breastfeeding as a survivor of sexual abuse.
When I have extra milk, I share it with others. Their moms.
We are equal.
We are
the Boob Group.
Welcome to the Boob Group. We're here to support all moms wanting to feed their babies breast milk and to respect the choices of moms who have chosen to feed their babies in other ways. I'm Sunny Galt. If you listen to our shows week after week, why not simplify the process and simply subscribe? That way a new episode will automatically download when it's available online. And the Boob Group is available on multiple platforms, if you don't already know, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Google Play Music. All of those ways are great ways to subscribe to our show. Just hit that subscribe button. And we're always looking for new topics to explore on our shows. So visit our website at newmommymedia.com. Send us any ideas you have. And that's also where you can learn more about becoming a guest on our show, whether you are an expert or a parent. We believe this is your show and we'd love to have you be as involved as you would like to be. So let's meet the moms that are joining us on our conversation today. We do kind of have a packed house, if you will. So let's go through really quickly and learn just a little bit more about our mamas. So, Letitia, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Well, my name is Letitia. I'm 28. I'm married. I'm an attorney who works full time. And I have a son, Theo, who's 4 months old, and I exclusively pump.
Wonderful. Miranda.
Yeah. Hi. My name is Miranda. I have 4 children ranging in ages from 15 all the way down to 7 months. I do a little bit of everything, work from home, co-founder of a women's organization, and I have breastfed all of my children.
Awesome. Priya.
Hi. I'm excited to be here. My name is Priya, and I have 3 children from ages 14 to 8 years old. So it's been a while since I breastfed and breast pumped, but I did all 3. I even did a supplemental formula for my daughter and my first son. And I'm also the co-founder of Moms Pump Here, the app that helps moms find places to breastfeed and breast pump.
Awesome. Ryan.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I'm 32 years old. I'm married. I have 2 boys, an 8-year-old who's actually my stepson, and a 1-year-old who is my son. My 1-year-old has been exclusively formula fed since he was adopted.
Wonderful. And Graham.
Hi, I'm Graham. I have 2 little monsters. my oldest is almost 3, and my youngest is 6 months. With my son, who's almost 3 now, I tried breastfeeding, and it just did not work for me. So I pumped, and he was then formula fed after a while. And with my youngest, I have been able to exclusively breastfeed.
All right, fantastic. And really quickly about me, I have four kids of my own. My oldest is 5. I have a 3-year-old, and then I have twins that are about 2.5. Actually, my 3-year-old just turned 4. So 5-year-old, 4-year-old, and twins that are about 2.5 years old. And with my first two kids, I breastfed for about 4 to 6 months and then supplemented with formula. And with my girls, I exclusively pumped for the first 2 months because they couldn't latch. They were preemies. And then I pretty much tandem breastfed after that. So some exclusive pumping, then exclusive breastfeeding. So I kind of have a mixture of everything as well. All right, ladies, thanks so much for joining us. We'll be right back.
Sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com. So before we dive into our conversation today, I found a news headline that I thought would be good to share on this because I'm really looking forward to hearing some perspectives on this. This is from the Daily Mail, which is a website. It's based out of the UK. So most of the articles come from just across the pond. And so this headline is about a mother and baby swimming group. And it says they were banned from breastfeeding and using the chairs at the poolside of a Marriott hotel because they are, quote unquote, not members. So when you look at the article, which we'll be sure to post on our Facebook page if you guys want to check it out, it basically says, again, that they were taking this swimming class. And afterward, some of the moms wanted to breastfeed their babies. I believe they also wanted to change their babies on the chairs. I don't know if they were changing them, just changing their clothes, changing their diapers, something like that. And then they were denied. They were upset about that. They complained to management. And Marriott apologized. Marriott said that this wasn't within their policy and that all breastfeeding moms were welcome. But still, some of the damage was done. Some moms took to social media to vent their concerns about this. Obviously, they were paying for the class, even though they weren't members of the Marriott per se or the fitness club that this was part of. And so they were a little bit concerned about that. And so just wanted to throw this out there, see what you guys thought. If you thought, hey, it kind of made sense, they're not members, or was something amiss here? So what do you guys think? Anyone want to chime in?
I think this is really petty that the staff members did this to the women. Some of these things, some of these articles and incidences that come out, I kind of feel like employees need training on how to deal with nursing moms because it's a deep downward slope if you make the wrong move. And obviously you could see that they were planning a feed-in after this all happened. And no business wants that, you know, wants that bad press.
I don't know if they actually ended up doing the feed-in.
Below the picture, it says the group of women planned to do it. So I don't know if it actually happened. Yeah.
Right. So it's like a nurse-in, I'm assuming. Feed-in, nurse-in, I guess that's synonymous. Any other thoughts on this? Go ahead and chime in.
As a mom who has never been able to breastfeed because my son was adopted and my body never let me, I think it's ridiculous. I'm allowed to feed my son anywhere I want because I have a bottle with formula in it. So I don't understand why any other woman can't feed their children wherever they want to, however they choose to.
Yeah. And Priya, you actually brought up a good point about more training that's needed. And we did a whole episode, you know, speaking of feed-ins, nurse-ins, the Boo Group did a whole episode on nurse-ins. And we talked about that in the episode. We were like, you know, I think we would stray away from, you know, doing these types of nurse-ins, feed-ins, if we knew we were getting through to management. Unfortunately, usually what you have to do is kind of make a big splash in order to get people to pay attention. But if we knew we could go straight to management with our concerns and management
client would implement something, you know, I think more moms would choose to go that route. I don't think anybody really wants a big show and tell. I think we just want basic feeding rights, which is what we're talking about today, regardless of whether you're feeding out of a bottle or, you know, Letitia, for your, you know, if you wanted to pump, have you ever had to pump in a situation like this out in public?
Usually I'm stuck in my car or in someone's office or, you know, just the most ridiculous places. So I haven't had a situation like the one mentioned in the article yet.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just about, you know, being able to feed your baby where you need to feed your baby. In this, I was talking about changing their baby. And like I said, changing can mean a bunch of different things. Like, I do get a lot, I don't know if you guys are the same way, but when I'm out in public, if I'm changing a diaper, especially if I know if it's a really dirty diaper, I can kind of see, like, if there are just naked babies everywhere and that, you know, again, I guess it maybe depends on what kind of chair you're trying to change them on. But I always get a little weird about that. I'm always like, oh, should I go to the bathroom? This is kind of a weird, you know, situation to be able to change my baby if it's a dirty diaper. But it doesn't, I don't think the article actually says, it just says they're trying to change them. So that could actually mean, you know, changing out of a swimsuit or something. But, and anyone feel that way too?
How long does it take to change a diaper? I mean,
yeah,
it takes, what, 30 seconds, maybe at the most, even when, I mean, my daughter is 6 months now. And so she's totally rolling over. As soon as she's free from the diaper, she's just an escape artist. But even so, it really doesn't take me that long to get her changed and get her back, I guess, covered up. So I just, stuff like this just makes me scratch my head because it had to have been so much easier to just let them change the kids, feed the kids, and get them out of the way than to cause this big stink about it.
I wonder if somebody complained.
I was just going to say that. I wonder if someone complained and that kind of fueled this, because either that or it was someone that just didn't understand. And we don't know. Maybe there was another group trying to get in. You know what I mean? There's a lot of other things that could be happening here. But I am glad that Marriott kind of came out and said, listen, they're just trying to feed their babies and, you know, let them feed their babies, you know, kind of thing. So props to Marriott for coming through in the end. But it would be nice for more businesses to have more training on this. So again, we'll go ahead and we'll post this link to our Facebook page if you guys want to check it out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today we're talking about the mommy wars. Why do we have such a hard time accepting how other mothers feed their babies? So we have a bunch of moms joining us today to share their personal experience. And just a quick disclaimer off the top, we are not expecting to solve the mommy wars in this episode. We only have about 30 minutes. We're certainly not going to do that. But we do hope that it helps facilitate an important conversation with moms, both online as well as in person. So let's dive into this. Why do you guys think the way we feed our kids is such a hot button topic? Priya, what do you think?
Moms are really passionate. And it's funny because when we started my company and Moms Pump Here was posting content about breastfeeding and breast pumping, and then we had images using bottles, we actually had moms come out and say, well, you shouldn't post that. Or hospitals saying, well, we are breastfeeding certified, so we can't post images of bottles and promote you like that. So it's a very fickle thing. I don't know why specifically moms personally don't want to accept other women bottle feeding, but I do think it's a lack of education and that women really need to put themselves in other women's shoes.
Yeah, that's true. Letitia, as an exclusive pumping mom, you know, what do you think about this? Why is this such a hot button topic?
Well, for me, it took a little self-reflection, but I think that it comes from our innate need to care for our child, and that's directly tied to how we nourish our babies. And I think as women, we want to do what's best for our child, and we think we're doing it as we're doing it. And when someone questions you, you know, I personally kind of go into mama bear mode, and it's like a special kind of rage that comes out of me. And I think that, you know, it's like, it's not just that someone's questioning the bottle in your baby's mouth. It's like your whole purpose for living. And so you kind of throw all rationale out the window, and it's just kind of like passion driven. So I think that leads to a lot of hurt feelings and a lot of women saying things that, you know, if they took a step back, they wouldn't necessarily say.
And why do you guys think we have such a hard time accepting other people's feeding choices? Because, you know, it's one thing to have this be a hot button topic and we all kind of talk about it. But then I have, you know, kind of heard some horror stories on ways that other moms have, you know, just really kind of been rude about the whole thing, not fully understanding or even knowing any information about a mom's background and why she made that choice. And, you know, you would think that we would kind of put ourselves in that position and be like, you know, I don't want anyone else to judge my choices and how I feed my baby. So I'm not going to do that. But apparently they're, you know, and, you know, maybe we've all done it on some level in the past, even if we haven't said anything to someone, maybe those thoughts have raced through our minds. So why do we have such a hard time accepting other people's feeding choices? Graham?
I think a lot of it comes from this obsession that we all have with being normal. Everybody is trying to normalize everything. You hear that a lot. Like, we need to normalize breastfeeding, or we need to normalize this or normalize that. Well, as soon as you make one thing normal, then other things are by definition abnormal, and nobody wants to be on the other side of that. So if it is normal and natural for me to breastfeed, then that means it is unnatural and abnormal for me to formula feed. I think we need to normalize feeding in general. Feed your baby the best way that works for you and your baby and your family. That is normal. Everything else, starving your baby, that is abnormal. Other than that, we're all good. That's just my personal opinion, is that it comes from, you feel attacked. You see somebody doing something that's different from you, and they're happy, and they're good with that. And you think, uh-oh, I'm wrong. It makes you uncomfortable. And so you go on the attack instead of saying, nope, she's doing it different. They're good. They're happy. I'm good. I'm happy.
Do you think it's an instinctive, like, competitive thing that women have with each other? Do you think it has to do with that?
Yes, definitely. We all want to be, well, because we all want to do the best for our children, you know. The problem with words like that is that if somebody's doing the best, then somebody's doing the worst. And somebody's, all of these words kind of automatically divide us.
I think there's a lot of mom guilt too. Because if you really wanted to breastfeed and it didn't work and you see someone else doing it, you know, you automatically feel guilty. And a lot of times your guilt turns, you know, into defense, and it's just kind of downhill from there, I think.
I think also, for me, I breastfed my first two children relatively easily. And I don't think I never felt judgmental of moms who bottle fed, but it was more like I just didn't understand until I had my third baby, who was tongue and lip tied, and that went undiagnosed for 9 months. And if I could have gotten that kid to take a bottle, you know, I would have done that in a heartbeat. So, you know, having different experiences too has opened my eyes, and allowed me to see things from a totally different perspective. You know, just going through something with breastfeeding being difficult, and then it was like, oh, okay, yeah, it's not always easy for everybody.
Absolutely. All right. So let's talk a little bit more personally about the experiences that each of you have had with these mommy wars. So Miranda, tell us a little bit about how it's impacted you and your baby.
Well, my kids have all been exclusively breastfed, mostly because none of them will take a bottle. And so I end up breastfeeding pretty long. You know, my kids, my older three, I've breastfed 18 months, 21 months, and 23 months. And I'm still breastfeeding my seven-month-old. And so I kind of come at it from the perspective of, I have felt judged for breastfeeding as long as I have. And I've seen some, you know, nasty, hateful comments online about women who choose to breastfeed past 6 months or a year or, you know, 2 years. And so that has made me feel, you know, self-conscious about that decision to do that for my kids. And, you know, certainly if I'm out in public now, I have felt a little bit scared of breastfeeding in public because of the media coverage that kind of has blown up. So it does make me a little bit anxious, a little bit self-conscious from a breastfeeding perspective.
And Ryan, tell us a little bit about your experience as a formula feeding mom for your adopted child.
Well, when you're taking, you know, a teeny tiny 1-2-month-old baby out to a restaurant and you start, you know, getting the Similac and putting it in the bottle, shaking it up, and you have all these people that are just, you know, staring at you, and maybe they're not judging, but you feel very judged by it. It's really hard. It's a very hard situation to be in when you feel like these people are looking at you like, well, how come you're not giving
your child what's the best thing for them? Why do you have to give them this formula? And then also for me, there's a lot of jealousy from moms that are able to breastfeed. I always imagined that, you know, once I had my own children, that I would be able to breastfeed them because I just think that's such a beautiful thing. And so whenever I see mothers that are able to breastfeed, it's sad for me and I'm quite jealous of them.
Graham, I remember you telling me a story before about you at a baby store.
Yeah, I was at a, I don't know if I should use names, so I won't. I was at a major bookstore that also has a major coffee store on the inside of it. So you might all be able to guess. And I was in the coffee section with my son and was feeding him breast milk from a bottle, although there was no way for this woman to know that. It was also the very first time I had left the house since being diagnosed with postpartum depression and anxiety. I had pretty crippling panic attacks and was bordering on some agoraphobia where you're scared to leave the house or you're scared to leave your safe place. There was also no way for her to know that. So this was my very first time stepping outside of my comfort zone. I was terrified and shaking pretty much the entire time. Sat down with him, brought out the bottle of breast milk, thought that that would be kind of a shield. You know, I have this super cute baby and nobody's going to bother me. And I got yelled at by a woman who told me that I was abusing my son by giving him formula. She just started yelling at me in the middle of this coffee shop, like, and in a bookstore where everybody's kind of sitting there being quiet and drinking their coffee. That's really loud. Like everybody looks.
Oh my God.
There's no way to hide from that. You know, it's not like, I guess, being anywhere else in public where you could maybe just walk away. So by the time I got him back in the stroller and got everything put away and did all of that, I was, you know, shaking and crying and it was pretty bad. That sent me back to the house and did not leave the house again for a while after that. So you really just don't know when you're dealing with a mom, what her story is or what's going on. You don't even know what's in that bottle. You have no idea if that's formula, if that's her breast milk that she pumped, what pumping is like for her, if it's breast milk she got from a breast bank, why she has to do that. There's so many things going on in our backgrounds, you know?
So, Letitia, do you have experience with anything like this since you pump for your baby? Your baby's, you know, drinking out of bottles all the time. Do you have anyone comment on that?
I do have people comment, but most of the time I just explain to them that it's express breast milk. And with me, I really found that most people don't understand exclusive pumping. So I kind of have to explain to them why there is milk in a bottle instead of coming directly from the breast. But once I do that, you know, people understand. And I think that's just because most people don't know it's an option. But I haven't experienced it with a complete stranger, but you're much more kind than I am, Graham. I probably would have really yelled back at her because I just think it's so presumptuous that people even think they can comment on whatever's happening with you and your child.
Exactly. Well, if I had been healthier, if it happened now, I totally would. But at the time, I was just frozen. But right now, I'm like, what? How is it even your business? This is the part I don't understand.
I'm surprised nobody stood up for you either.
Nope.
Was it crowded?
And there were, yes, and there were plenty of women there.
Oh, wow. Or shut her down.
Yeah.
In a New York minute, we would have shut her down.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And then record it and we'll put it up on Facebook. Oh, gosh, Graham, I'm so sorry you went through that. And I know that this is a story that's echoed around the country and probably in other countries as well. And it's just so sad to me that, you know, to Letitia's point, that we have to prepare ourselves to be able to explain. Mm-hmm. What other thing do we have to explain? Like, if I walk into a store and see someone with purple hair, they don't have to explain to me why they have purple hair. Like, I don't understand this. This doesn't make sense to me. Oh, geez. Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion on the mommy war, specifically on the judgment moms face about feeding their babies. So we'll be right back. Oh. Welcome back, everybody. We are talking about the mommy wars and how we feed our babies and how it's really nobody's business, but they make it their business. And oh my goodness, what are we going to do about this? So moms, what do you think instigates these wars? For example, we've mainly been talking about, you know, other people, you know, just people kind of coming up to you saying whatever they want to say. What about though the media, and what about healthcare professionals? Do they have a role in this as well? Priya, what do you think?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, coming from a professional standpoint, media definitely instigates. And I have to say, I am slightly guilty of this because from a marketing point of view, you want to engage users and you want to engage your moms. And sometimes what happens is that I'll post positive stuff, amazing things for women, great content, and you get crickets. You don't get responses, you don't get comments, but the minute you post something that's slightly controversial, you get a whole slew of moms chiming in, good, bad, and it's crazy. You know, unfortunately, from a professional standpoint and for media and for companies, you have to incite the conversation sometimes in order to get eyes and ears paying attention to your content. I'm coming from more of like a professional standpoint versus a personal one, but I definitely feel media instigates all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, and I'm kind of in the same boat too. Just like, you know, for example, you know, when we do those news headlines at the beginning of the show, I'm always thinking, I'm like, okay, well, we need something that will actually facilitate conversation. We don't want crickets. You know, if we, you know, I try to work in some positive stories and say, hey, this is such a good thing that someone did to support breastfeeding. But those aren't the ones that incite conversation usually on Facebook and stuff. And so I'm from the news business. That's my background. And, you know, the tagline or whatever, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. And it's kind of that whole thing, you know, but we have to be careful with that because, you know, we don't want to just push out all the bad stuff or all the controversy, because then it kind of fuels kind of this us versus them. And that's really not what we're trying to do. So we want conversation. That's good. But we don't want to pit sides. That's, you know, not the focus. Ryan, do you have any ideas on this?
I think social media plays a huge role in it. And as wonderful as social media is, it's also something that, you know, you can get really bogged down, especially since what everyone was talking about, you know, reading the articles and then reading the comments that everyone posts on the articles. And it's a lot easier to, you know, be an anonymous voice behind a computer when you're not, you know, face to face with people. Although, unfortunately, you know, people still get the face to face comments, as I've been learning. But I think that it's so easy now to give your opinion and give it in a nasty way that it just, you know, it makes it a lot harder to have a conversation rather than to just say, this is why I am right and this is why you are wrong.
Absolutely. I was talking to a mom the other day who wasn't able to breastfeed her children. She wanted to. This mom did everything she possibly could do in order to breastfeed her babies, and it just was not working out. So she ended up formula feeding. And we were talking about hospitals because she delivered in a hospital. And she was talking about, you know, you have all this now with the baby-friendly hospitals, which is a great initiative. But they're doing more and more to make it more and more difficult, if you will, for moms who really are choosing the formula route to get formula. And she was talking about how, you know, this was very challenging and it even made it more difficult for her because it was just, you know, they were pushing stuff and she had already tried stuff and it really just wasn't working out for her. And she just felt like, you know, listen, I'm a brand new mom. At some point, actually the whole episode that we were talking about was when do you just say, I just can't breastfeed? I've tried everything. It's just not working out. You know, where do you draw that line? And she was saying that, you know, despite the good intentions of the hospital, you know, because the hospitals are trying to say, listen, you know, let's just encourage breastfeeding as much as possible, because if we don't do it, who's going to do it? You know, the baby just came out. Let's get the lactation consultants in there to help the babies as much as possible. That's their stance. And that's great. But from the perspective of this mom, she was like, it just wasn't working. And it came to a point where she was just like, listen, this is hurting me more than helping me. And I need the formula so I can be a good mom, so I can move on. I could just say, listen, I tried this. It didn't work. And so, again, you know, just a little bit on the other side there, this was a case of healthcare professionals kind of hurting when they were trying to help. You know, they're trying to push breastfeeding, and it just got to a point where this mom was just had just had it. She's like, I can't.
Have you heard of the breastfeeding certification that these hospitals have now?
Oh, the 10-step, you mean to become baby friendly?
Yeah, baby friendly. Yeah. I know in New York, there's like 11 of the city hospitals are working on the certification now, and a bunch of them already have it.
Yeah, and it's a very involved process. It can take years. We actually did an episode on this. So yeah, I mean, it's very intense, and part of the whole thing of transitioning, instead of giving formula when they leave the hospital, you know, that they're preparing them in other ways, giving them diaper bags, and again, more lactation consultants coming in and checking on them. All good things, but again, it can also interfere, and it can hurt breastfeeding if it's pushed too far, you know, and the breastfeeding cost.
It's discriminatory if you think about it.
Yeah, exactly.
I think also that, you know, healthcare professionals need to learn to trust moms, you know, who are advocating for themselves and their babies and what's right. And I think even experiences in pediatricians' offices, it's kind of the same thing. Like, at what point do we as moms, you know, we can advocate for ourselves and our children because we know them best and we know ourselves best. And so I think you're right. When healthcare professionals swing too far the other way, that's damaging as well. And I think I wish more women were empowered to feel like they're qualified to make those choices and not be shamed, regardless of which choice that they end up making.
Absolutely. So, moms, how do we change this perception, these mommy wars? And can we all get along? Graham, what do you think?
I think we definitely can. I think it starts with trying to not take it personally, to not take anybody else's choices personally, and to kind of notice when you're doing that. Just to notice when I know that there are things that really trigger me. There are words that really trigger me. There are things that other people say and it gets my back up and I want to say something rude or nasty. And I always stop before I post any comment anywhere online. I stop and I reread it and I take a deep breath before I hit send. And I think really just that pause could help a lot of people. Because most of the time, I end up deleting it. It's really not that big a deal. It's really not something that I need to go off on some other mom about. It's really not, you know, a personal attack. And just taking a deep breath and a pause could go a long way.
And I think someone mentioned this earlier, like it's so easy just to hide behind your computer and type whatever you want. I mean, you see that on YouTube and Facebook all the time. These just crazy comments that no one would ever say to someone in person. That's kind of that's my trigger. If I wouldn't say this to this person in person, I shouldn't say it online. You know, there needs to be, you know, some sort of accountability and people are just respect. Yes. Even just respect for another mother because she's a mother and you know what that's like. And you know that her day is challenging just like your day is challenging. And like we said earlier, she's trying to do everything she can to be the best mom she can be. And we don't need to be tearing each other down. I don't think that that's helping.
I think having a little compassion for where that mom is at in that moment and remembering what that was like for you, because I know that when I made the decision to exclusively pump, I was going through a lot and, you know, I did reach out to people and the people I reached out to had compassion for me and they said, I didn't make the choice you're making, but however I can help you, I will. And I think it's really important that we do that for other moms. When we see them posting on Facebook and they're struggling and they're, you know, maybe even having a hard time between types of formula, instead of saying, well, you should breastfeed, that's the best way to feed your baby, just, you know, offer advice if you have it. And if you don't comment.
Yeah, you don't have to comment on everything, everybody. And a note for the exclusive pumpers out there. Like I said, I did that just for 2 months when I had when my babies were first born, my twins. That is dedication. Letitia, that is dedication, mama. It can be so challenging, especially if you're pumping throughout the night or whatever. So I give you a lot of props because it can be difficult to do and there's a lot that's involved and you're still doing what you think is best for your baby. And I applaud you for that. That's awesome.
Oh, I appreciate it. It's definitely not fun. So...
Fun is not involved in this.
No, not so much. Let's share some positive examples. I kind of want to wrap up the conversation, and I know we've, you know, been talking a lot about negative things that we've done to one another, but I do want to wrap this up because there are so many things, and if you don't get anything else out of this episode, hopefully you get some ideas on ways to encourage other moms who, you know, you may see out in public or, you know, you see online in what they're doing. So let's share a positive example. Ryan, you have a positive example of how someone supported you. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I do. And this was actually in the hospital when we were taking our son home. The nurses there were fantastic, and they knew about the relationship, and they knew about the adoption, and they knew how hard it was for my husband and I, and how hard it was for our son's birth parents. And they were phenomenal. They gave us so many of those pre-made bottles of formula. They gave us so many worksheets and pieces of paper and things to read, all sorts of literature to say, you know, this is how much you should be feeding him. This is when he should be eating. You know, these are things you can try. These are different things that you can do. And they were truly incredible in giving us all of this stuff and information. And they said, call us if you need anything, if you think he's, you know, not getting enough, or he's getting too much, or, you know, they were just wonderful to work with and wonderful to us, you know, as new parents who were terrified taking the baby home from the hospital.
That's great. That's great to hear. And Graham, you know, I know we've been talking a little bit about support, and there's a lot of ways you can support another mom. In fact, there's an event going on Facebook now that we want to tell you a little bit more about. So Graham, can you tell us about the 31-day Mommitment?
Yeah, I'm super excited about this. This is actually our second year in a row, and it was started by my friend Julie Maida, who is the genius behind Sober Mommies. And she was just noticing the same thing that we've all been talking about, just fighting about cloth diapers versus disposable diapers and breastfeeding and formula feeding and all of these things. And she kind of had enough of it and started this campaign called, it's a hashtag, it's hashtag Mommitment. It's spelled just like commitment with an M at the front. And it's basically a bunch of moms who have made a commitment to only be supportive of each other and to do all of the things that we've talked about here. If you don't know the answer to the question, then you don't answer that question. You don't shame the other mom. We post articles and blogs and memes and just all kinds of funny, happy, supportive stuff. And it's all during the month of May. You can search on Facebook for 31 Days of Mommitment, or you can just search the hashtag, just hashtag Mommitment, or you can go to mommitment.org. All of those ways will get you over to the group and you can join us. We have bloggers who have signed up to post things every day. So there's going to be a new discussion every day, but it's also going to be a great place where you can come and say, I'm having a rough day today, or this really funny thing happened to me today, or whatever you need as a mom. You know that you're going to have at least this 1 month of hundreds, hopefully thousands of other moms standing right behind you and giving you virtual hugs.
Oh, I love this. Yeah, isn't that great? So hashtag Mommitment, and we're going to link the Facebook page on the episode page for this website. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go on and I'm going to start inviting my friends. I'm going to invite all my mommy friends and be like,
I'm going to share it too.
Yeah, share it on Moms Up Here. That's awesome. That's awesome. So yeah, so we'll link to it so you guys can check it out, and hopefully we can just be a little bit more understanding of moms and what they're going through and a little bit more supportive as a result. So thanks to everyone. You know, this has been a great conversation. I really do appreciate your honesty and sharing your personal stories. It's been amazing. I really do appreciate you being part of today's show. If you're a member of the Boob Group Club, then please be sure to check out the bonus content for this episode. We're going to talk a little bit more about the media's role in these mommy wars, especially when it comes to social media. We talked a little bit about that. So for more information about our club, visit our website at newmommymedia.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone.
As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
All right, so we have a boob oops, and this comes from one of our listeners, Rebecca, and it's about pumping and going back to work, and so I thought it was very apropos to our conversation today about how moms choose to breastfeed their babies or to pump for their babies. Okay, so this is what she wrote. She said, I had to go to work when Hannah is her daughter, was 3 months old. She says, I was working 45 minutes away from home two nights a week from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. at a nursing home. One morning, I was particularly painfully engorged, and I decided I better pump before driving 45 minutes home. After a very long night of work, I was very tired. So I set up in the break room because I knew that no one would be in for at least a half hour, and I figured I could pump quicker than that. I turned on my electric pump. I started double pumping. I had my shirt up to my neck. I had both breasts out with the electric pump, and these cups were milking me. I was sitting on a sofa, and I thought I'd just rest to help my milk let down. So I thought about Hannah. She's doing all the right stuff. It's awesome. She closed her eyes. She says, when I opened them, I had been there for 3 hours. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
She said it was 10 a.m. It was 10 a.m. and I started pumping at 7 a.m. I had been sleeping and pumping for 3 hours.
Oh my God.
And then she said,
overflowing?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if someone snapped some pictures or something. That break room is used quite regularly.
Oh,
Rebecca, my goodness.
Hopefully her pump had an automatic shutoff after so long, because
she needed to sleep.
Well, if not, her milk supply is probably going to go through the roof, right, with all that stimulation, you know. I can see the bottles are like overflowing, and that's probably what woke her up, the milk spilling everywhere. Oh, that's so funny. Rebecca, thanks so much for sending that in. If you guys have a funny boob oops that you want to share with us, whether it's about breastfeeding or pumping or milk sharing or any of the above, please let us know. We would love to hear it. You can send us an email through our website at newmommymedia.com. You can also click on that gray banner on the side that says send voicemail. And that way we can hear your voice and you can share the story yourself. All right, that wraps up our show for today. Thanks for listening to The Boob Group. Don't forget to check out our sister shows, Preggy Pals for expecting parents, Newbies for newly postpartum moms, Parent Savers for moms and dads with toddlers, and Twin Talks for parents of multiples. This is The Boob Group, where moms know breast.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
How would you like to have your own show on the New Mommy Media Network? We're expanding our lineup and looking for great content. If you're a business or organization interested in learning more about our co-branded podcasts, visit our website at newmommymedia.com.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.